For over 20 years, flamboyant Finnish-Canadian clothing mogul Peter Nygaard was able to keep allegations of rape a secret in the Bahamas. It is a story with strong parallels to the Jeffrey Epstein case. Nygaard is now in custody in Canada. He's 79 years old. CBC's investigative program, The Fifth Estate, and now a CBC podcast called Evil by Design, has been investigating how Nygaard kept his activities quiet, aided by Bahamanian attitudes to women's rights. Nygaard is now accused of operating an elaborate sex trafficking ring involving dozens of young women and girls. The podcast is about how he was able to thrive for so long. CBC interviewed 19 women who say they were raped by Nygaard. He denies everything. Among some of the others spoken to for the investigation is Nahaja Black. She's a Bahamanian radio show host. And I asked her when she first became aware of Peter Nygaard in the Bahamas.
When I was growing up, I would hear a story, right? Like, so 18, 19, you hear about these parties. And that's it. It would be like that thing that is happening, but nobody speaks of. And now that the exposure has happened to the point where no one can hide, documents are out, people have come out and said that what you were hearing weren't anecdotal. They were actually stories that were real. Now it's a part of our understanding of it. Whereas then it seemed like something that was going on that might have been consensual, but shady. Now we are very aware of the levels of I would say debauchery that was going on there.
Of course, my next question is, how was this able to go on in the Bahamas? But one needs to make the point that it went on in Winnipeg as well. You know, Canada,
yes,
enabled Nygaard, as did the Bahamas.
Yes.
So it's, you know, it's, I'm not picking on the Bahamas, but let us speak of the attitude of the Bahamas towards, I don't know, young women, men, predators.
Mm-hmm. This conversation has always been one that is interesting. I will give you this, Kim. I'll give you a little bit of Bahamian history, not history, but an understanding of the people, right? So we are ones where we are built on tourism. So there is a face, there is a front, there is a look. There are the commercials, the sun, sand, and sea, the really sort of naive tourist who comes in to enjoy themselves unaware of the undercurrent of issues. But like any other society, as a tourist you go to visit, you're not there to be concerned. However, because we are structurally built off of the economy of tourism, we tend to like to keep our dirt in-house, right? This is a stain on us, for the record. So even having this conversation is one, knowing internationally that the chickens have come home to roost, as the saying goes. We're aware that we always hear, well, you know, Bahamian men love their women. And that is that chauvinistic, patronizing terminology where there are still many issues that Bahamian women face. Though in the world, I think we're number two with the most women in managerial positions per capita, we still have a lot of this property mentality where men, women are deemed property. Bahamian women are some of the strongest women you'll ever meet, but somehow we've still fallen into this chauvinistic patriarchal society. So all of that to say that though there's talk of protection of women and children, there's seemingly very little intentional focus. I mean, we still have very antiquated ways of dealing with rape. So if a young lady is said that she's been raped, there's still these antiquated processes in our books where she would have to confront her perpetrator at the police station and you know, kind of defend a position. But this is 2021, and we are still having to deal with these issues. And seemingly were not believed. Still to this day, when you call rape, all of a sudden the world comes to an end, and now these women are only out to lie, and we're only out. It's just the most. But we've protected the society of men who are pedophiles, who are, and they find themselves in high office, supposedly. The use of poverty and greed to manufacture your way. It's not a surprise that women and young girls were taken advantage of, because we were seen as property, still seen as cattle. And, you know, the cycle of brokenness continues. So a mother may have found herself in that position. And, you know, she doesn't take into account how ruined she was. And so she will send her daughter off to be a part of this, because we need the dollars. We need the cents, the economics, the history, and the lack of intention to protect our women and children. And we get a lot of lip service even today. So it's something that is still an ongoing advocacy for women. And though we are professionals, we're doctors, teachers, we're lawyers, we're bankers, accountants. I mean, we are graduating in our country. The Bahamian woman is the most educated of the sexes. If you have 9 people go to the University of the Bahamas, 8 are women. But for some reason, we still aren't, you know, positioning our powers to protect. And so that's where our work still lies. So this is how it has happened. It's been enabled by corruption and greed.
I mean, that seems such a paradox, right? A place of strong, powerful women, and yet Nygaard and presumably others like him are able to thrive because women see themselves as being legitimately in thrall to men. How does one overcome that paradox?
It is being overcome now. I think understanding the history of the Bahamas, one of the things that has to be, again, brief history. We became an independent nation in 73. But before that, we had a women's suffrage movement. In 67, we got majority rule, meaning at that point, majority blacks or majority anyone, period, could not vote. The majority's vote couldn't count. And then it was a lot of land owners before we were a colony. So there were a lot of habits. And so in order even to win majority rule, there had to be a suffragist movement. And that was us women, our aunts, my mother's generation, and the one before that coming through and saying, hey, we're going to fight for this right. Right now in present state, you realize that women were used then to get men in office, really to get the majority vote, right? Because you needed the women to vote. And after that, there was very little space or place for women in politics. So what has happened? And then we got all of this history of colonialism, all of this history of slavery and abuses that have been passing down from generation to generation. So we're a relatively young country. So what we have done, what we did at that onset, and what we're seeing even today, is that the quality of women in government is low, and the number of women in government is even lower. So it presents a challenge where the issues of women, for many ways, when a woman entered in politics, especially in more recent history, they're relegated to just being a numbers person. You just vote however we want you to vote. We have not seen women's issues being presented to the fore. So even the narrative of women's issues was knocked down. Oh, women are the worst enemy, da 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 da. The culture was taboo. Sexual issues were taboo. Back in the day, children were getting married. Our ancestors were getting married, our forefathers or parents, however you want to call them, were getting married at 14. This is four generations ago. So it's not that far off. This sort of historical reference helps to understand our ancestors or grandparents' behavior, how easy they were to comply. And then faith, of course, Christianity, with its patriarchal system built in, had subjugated a lot of us as women to believe that we should remain subservient. It doesn't matter the fact that we are the engines that make the car run, but rather that we were built just to run the car, but never to steer. That culture is changing now, Kim, because persons like myself, you know, on radio as a female host in the Bahamas, I'm a force to be reckoned with because I'm unlike the other. I ain't scared to say what I have to say because of the fact that My generation is changing. Millennials are now in the Bahamas as females saying enough is enough. But where we are saying enough is enough, it still requires the next leap in government. So our generations have allowed it to happen. The change is coming. And it's coming because the voices are getting louder. Women are now realizing their power, banding together and saying that you are not going to govern us without protections. However, there's still a lot of work to do, Kim, because victimization is a real thing. I hope that answers your question, but I just wanted to show you that there's some historical context into how we have allowed these men to thrive, this type of predatorial system to thrive, because, you know, sex is taboo. Our culture and our history of slavery and colonialism has led us to remain subservient, and that it hasn't emboldened us. And so it's just a lot of things, pieces that have allowed this to be the perfect ground for this type of injustice.
What we know from the CBC investigation is an awful lot of allegations against Nygaard, who is in custody as we speak. But they had to battle a very, very aggressive legal campaign on the part of Nygaard aimed at suppressing the reporting of his activities. And he didn't hold back in terms of intimidating his critics and intimidating people who may have offered damning evidence. Have you been pressured in any way if you wish to talk about Nygaard in the Bahamas?
No, not at all. Not at all. It's been one of those seasons where I guess it is what it is. I mean, we are open to speak. He doesn't hold any weight or muster here anymore. And nobody cares about him anymore. No one cares about him anymore. He's a stain on all of the Bahamas. And those who were close to him would wish he would disappear for good, because they are now stained by his is terrible behavior.
The power started ebbing from him, I think, when the courts found him guilty of environmental breaches. And also, in 2017, the PLP, the party that he had supported, because he was very close to Perry Christie, who was prime minister for a while, the PLP lost power. At that point, did he lose his power as well?
Yes, I would say yes. I mean, look, we have this thing in this country where rich men tend to believe that they own the Bahamas. He lost his power because the government wasn't in there. I mean, in our country, money is power. And once some with money can find themselves within the political rankings or sponsoring the political rankings, they begin to move entities like the police force. This is where the concerns are with corruption. And so this is where, you know, where the argument is that what has come about is that these women have been funded to lie on Peter Nygaard. And they've been funded by persons who are connected to the other side of the party, to the other governing party, which is the Free National Movement. These are the allegations. So my point in bringing all of that up is that politics was interwoven in bad behavior with wealthy people in this country. Even with those who consider themselves to be saints, politics somehow finds its way being controlled, manipulated by the wealth and resources of persons who aren't even Bahamian. And that is a sad testament to our country. It is definitely one of the sadder stories of this process and of third world nations, that we are ripe for corruption. But I believe that the majority of people would wish better for us. And so, yes, he Nygaard lost a lot of clout when his party came out of office. And then worse than that, the truth came out. The truth came out. And look, all of these women and their allegations, we can't not believe them. I believe them first, and let us prove the case. Let us begin to prove the case. But the storytelling on Mr. Nygaard is large, it's long, and it's filled with content. So his protection ended then, but he still had police coming, and you know, once he wasn't broke, he still had hope. Sorry, Bahamian dialect.
I'm talking to Bahamian radio host Nahaja Black about the case of Peter Nygaard and how he was able to operate as a predator for some 20 years. Has anyone in politics or the police been subject to investigation or criminal charges because we have heard claims of, as you've alluded to, deep corruption? And this is one of the reasons why Nygaard was able to operate with impunity for so long.
No. And the better question is, do we expect anyone to be charged? No. Up to this point, the Minister of National Security, who was during that tenure, was the Deputy Commissioner of Police during some of the Nygaard era, when some of these things allegedly happened. He's presently the Minister of National Security. Now, I'm not saying he had anything involved with that, but he was, you know, he was aware of some allegations then. But to this date, what was said was nobody's come up to, you know, press charges. So we, you know, these issues of corruption and alleged corruption, in essence, they're just allegations. Nothing is coming of it. And that is what we expect. We're not expecting for investigations. We're not expecting for them to care. And that's the sad part too. We're not expecting anything to come of this because there's a lot of people whose hands are dirty. To reveal one is to reveal yourself. And that's a lot of things, what many Bahamians believe is the case, is that to do any investigation, truly to get to the bottom of this, truly to seek justice, to protect our women and children, to make a standard, would mean that some people would have to be removed from their perch of comfort.
In any other country, it strikes me, this would be the subject of a Royal Commission of Inquiry, a deep-seated investigation of who knew what when, who was enriched, who turned the other way, who was a close friend of Nygaard, so on and so forth. You're saying there is no question of this happening in the Bahamas?
None whatsoever. And I'll tell you why, Kim. Because the only reason why this information even came out is to make the Progressive Party, Progressive Liberal Party, look bad. And I'm not talking about the cases, because the case and the other charges were happening in the States. For that to be leaked to us was for us to know what was going on. But these allegations weren't new. So when these were being alleged 50 and 20 years ago, where was the investigation then? Now we're in a political season where the Progressive Liberal Party is on the outside, the Free National Movement is on the inside, and they want to remain in power even if their leadership is terrible. Even if they have, we had a bill being raised for marital rape, to be against marital rape, and not one government or administration is man enough to say we stand against marital rape. This issue with Nygaard was only come about because it is an attempt to make the Progressive Party look bad, not to investigate, not to check. And I've said this on my show. There's no interest in bringing justice for these young women. No, the narrative is these women were all paid. These women knew what they were getting into. The little girl, what was she doing at the party? Kim, there's no interest. It's sickening. And so, sorry, the longer we talk about it, the more I get irate, because it is just disgusting that we are being used for a political tool and not because they actually care. And so I get frustrated with the entities that are supposed to be there. The entities that are supposed to be able to step in aren't getting funding, so they can't be big enough, loud enough, protect enough. And it keeps going on and on. It keeps going on and on.
So essentially, the people in power in the Bahamas just want the whole thing to go away now.
Yes. Well, they want it to stay when it works for them. When they need this narrative, and I guarantee you, as we move on closer to election date, which is next year, sometime next year, we think, this will come up again. But that'll be it. It'll come up as a political point, talking point. That's it. And my thing is, it's not even a good political talking point, because these are crimes that happened whilst both have had their tenure, both governments, both parties have had their tenure in office, and nobody cared then. And all of a sudden now we're weeping tears now. It's all a fraud.
When did you first hear stories about Nygaard? Can you remember?
I was a teenager. I'm almost 40. I was a teenager. I would say I was in my late teens, somewhere between 16, 17. And it was just a passing story. I remember I was working for another radio station, and I'd never met him before, but I knew that he was that station. They were looking for him to do ads on the station. I had walked in to the station, and this was the first time I'd actually seen parts of him. Because I remember saying to myself, I don't want to be anywhere near this guy. He's just, you know, because the stories that I'd heard weren't even as detailed, nowhere near as detailed, but I would always hear about these pamper stories. And I would always hear about, you know, some shady things and someone saying, well, you know, I went and I'll never go again. And just knowing that it was not a healthy environment, not knowing the details that I know today, but just knowing that he was not, it was not safe. And I remember, and I was in my late 20s when I at the station at that time, at that station. And I just sitting there and thinking, why is he still even here? What is, and that was during one of the elections, 2012 election period, I think it was, for the Progressive Liberal Party around that time. What is he still doing here? So it's been sort of that anecdotal thing throughout my years, but I think early teens.
If the CBC had not investigated, would anything really have happened?
No, actually they've investigated and nothing has still happened, right?
Well, I mean, Nygaard's now in custody.
Oh, that, you mean that? Yeah, no, nothing would have happened. Not from our side. Mm. And that again is the indictment on us. That is where the reform must come. That's one of the reasons why I'm a big advocate for our protecting women and children. Because it was not going to come from us. It was not going to come from us, Kim. We were not going to investigate anything. Nothing. Because we've never investigated Nygaard. Never investigated any allegations made against him. And I'm sure that if there was ever one person that went for a complaint, that complaint was never written. I'm telling you, Kim, I'm not stuttering on that. There are many people who claim that they want to complain against folks. And because of or whom they're complaining against, it matters, because all of a sudden we can reason. It's not a crime. Let's talk it out.
All right. So the Bahamas has a lot of strong women such as yourself. What will these strong women do to ensure that there isn't another Nygaard operating there right now?
What we have been doing, and it's an excellent question, because what needs to happen is more of us in Parliament, in positions of power, to enact policies that are in the best interest and that will work for women, that will protect us. But what a few women are doing right now is agitating to change certain laws, certain processes that are happening, where if a woman wants to, you know, press charges, declare that there is a rape, that it has to go through a different type of process, not better than the one we have now, that protects the victim or the alleged victim through the process until it is safe for her to go before a court or a judge and whatnot and state their case. So there are incremental processes we're working. There's a lot of non-governmental organizations led by women who are getting funded through just the hearts and minds of Bahamian people who don't have much resources as it stands right now. The country's in an economic collapse, and before COVID-19, we were already struggling, the people, not the idea of the Bahamas, because rich people come to the Bahamas all the time and spend their money and their ways, and they're straight. But the people who live there, we are struggling to survive in most instances. So what these NGOs or small NGOs are doing is trying to protect. So we, you know, housing, therapy. We have a lot of free therapy that goes on, but it's nothing. There's not enough nationally that's being done. And that's where we have to work and figure out how to make this work. But right now, the movement by CWIL, which is an organization for women in leadership, really trying to put more women into office in parliaments. That's what's going on as an initiative. Really trying to get that 40% of women elected in parliament, not just nominated, but elected in parliament, and hoping that some of our cares and concerns become legislative issues that are passed on the floor. One thing I will say before we go, and if you don't mind, the best thing about the Bahamas is its people, not the sun, sand, and sea. And also some of the worst things too, but it's in that small group of power-hungry, insecure folks who will do anything for a couple of dollars, and they happen to, a lot of them, be in leadership. So and that's why it's the challenge for me. Whenever I have this discussion, NIGOT is the stain that is just a crimson one. But there are more wonderful people and brilliant minds, even more so than myself and more wonderful than me, Kim. So when you come to the Bahamas, I'll show you a good time.
Promises, promises. That's Bahamanian radio host Nahaja Black. The latest on Peter Nygaard is that an extradition hearing on U.S. sex charges is set for November. And those charges relate to decades of criminal conduct, dozens of victims in the United States, Bahamas and Canada and other locations. And Nygaard's been behind bars in Winnipeg since last December.